Talk Cheese.
Recorded live.
Hello, this is Larry Phillips, and I want to welcome guests 3 and guest 4. And also, we're going to be talking tonight about the name of the Lord and what that kind of means. And I think I'm going to have Jerry just kind of introduce the subject, and then Richard can kind of follow up. But I'm just going to turn it over to Jerry and kind of bring us up to speed on why we even chose this topic.
Well, Larry and Richard and whoever else is on here, you know, for years, as a Southern Baptist, I thought salvation was giving your heart to Jesus, accepting Jesus. There's all kinds of titles for this man-made religion. But those terms aren't in the Bible. The closest one to accepting Jesus that I know of is that it says they receive not the things of the Spirit of God, neither do they know them, for they're spiritually discerned. And that's the things of the Spirit of God. Those are the truths of free grace. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. But let's go back. I mentioned what I'm in was the subject of what it means. What does the Lord mean when he says, I have manifested thy name to those that has given me? And that seems to be salvation when he does that. In John 17, he says, power is given to me over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. It's a fixed number. And then he defines what eternal life is. In other words, what salvation is.
Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me, Larry?
Yeah, I can hear you. I don't know what happened to him. Jerry, why don't you just continue on and see if he rejoins us. Why don't you kind of pick up on where he was, Richard?
I'm sorry, Larry. My alarm is going off in my truck for some reason.
I thought I heard something in the background, yeah. Well, basically what Jerry was saying, and hopefully he will... If not, we'll go try to get him back. But really, the name of the Lord, there's a scripture that says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous will run to it, you know. And I've often thought about that, you know. There was a long period of time. There was a long period of time when I had no desire at all to know the name of the Lord or to ascribe to the name of the Lord. And then what happened was I began to see how wicked of a sinner I was and how destitute I was. And God put in my heart a desire to find out more about who the Lord was. And of course, Scripture reveals who the Lord is. And when that was revealed to me, obviously through the Holy Spirit, I became even more distraught. But then I realized through Scripture, you know, it says that he came to call the righteous. He came to call the sinner, not the righteous, to repentance. He came to save the sinner. And that gave me such hope. But are you okay now, Richard? Is your alarm situation taken care of yet?
Yeah, I think so. I hadn't went outside, but do you want to try to add Jerry back on? And
I'm going to try to. Now, it's showing that Jerry's still on the line, but I'm going to try to go get him back. But I'm going to.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, you're here. Okay, good. We lost you.
Yeah.
We lost you. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. But I was just going to say that I found out. the Lord showed me, and it was a rude awakening, that salvation is actually knowing God. So in John 17, where he says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And then the opposite of that is, depart from me, I never knew you. So my thoughts are, what does it mean to know God? And what's he mean, I never knew you? And we know what it says in John about he knows his sheep and he's known of his sheep. So it's a mutual knowing. Just like I know Larry Phillips, I know Richard McCrory, and they know me. So you can't, one person can't know somebody and they not know them. But go ahead, Richard, take from there. This is to me, it's a rich subject, because the Lord does have a lot of names. One of my favorites is the Lord, our righteousness. But go ahead, Richard.
I think if we've been born from above and are known of this God, you know, the expression of his name, and before we started the call, I know when I joined in, Larry was talking about something in reference to the many names in Scripture. And I remember when he quickened me to life, and, you know, before, you know, using his name in vain, and how precious just, you know, talking about God. And I remember, you know, Matt used to use that word in vain, but never would use, you know, Jesus or, you know, Christ in vain like men do. And I wasn't any better for not doing it, but there was just something in, you know, intrinsic or something. That couldn't be approached. But after, yeah, you know, he quickens us, you know, how precious, you know, that name becomes in us, you know, communicating that from one to another. If we had the common salvation, common experience, it's again, I thought of Elizabeth's words, and one of the, thinking about the subject, one of the passages that came to mind is, you know, after when when Elizabeth is greeted by Mary, and I think, and I just want to read a few of these verses, what, you know, Elizabeth's praise to God, and to me it encapsulates several of the things that the Lord gives her as she, you know, speaks these things and just is filled with the Spirit as she proclaims the truth about God. And, you know, at the end of it, she says, verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And so, verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence it is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I'm sorry, this is Mary that said that. And the Spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. And so Mary there, you know, she knew the Lord, didn't she? All these attributes of him, and exalting him and saying his name, his very name, he, his name is holy. And that's what I thought about too, and expressing in terms of our experience with this God. It's these expressions that we may not can voice or given the utterance that Mary was given to manifest these things, but it's exactly what we've been given to know.
Amen.
Amen. That's really, you know, when you think about that salutation of Mary and how she said, I rejoice in God my Savior, and then Roman Catholic Church wants to promote that she was, you know, without sin and all this stuff. And if she was out without sin, she certainly didn't need a Savior. And why would she be rejoicing in a Savior if she was immaculately conceived herself? I mean, but anyway, this, the name of the Lord, like I said, I have to look that scripture up. It says, is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run into it. And it's not the righteous, it's those who have been given the imputed righteousness of Christ run into it. Go ahead, Brother Jerry.
Well, I'm looking at this scripture in John 10. He said, verse 14, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. It's a two-way knowing. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, he told the Pharisees, you believe not because you're not my sheep. In other words, what he's saying is, you believe not because you're not my sheep. If you were my sheep, I would have died for you, and you would know me. And the thing that I've come to in the last year or so is, when did he know us? I think we get a hint of that in Jeremiah, where he said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And that parallels Ephesians, being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So this is not. And then it says, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. It doesn't say will. They have eternal life, everlasting life. That's the reason they believe. And, of course, the religious world tells us that you believe in order to get it. And the many names he has. One of the names is the Lord our Sabbath, resting place. That's really what the Sabbath signifies, is the rest in Christ. All of these things. I mean, this is the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. And in Psalms it says, those that know his name, in other words, those that he has manifested his name to, it says, those that know his name put their trust in him. And that strong tower to me speaks of the refuge of Christ, Brother Larry.
Yeah, I was thinking of Psalm 63 here. I think there's so many psalms, you know, that show David crying out for God, but he says, oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied. And he goes on, and, you know, it's just, and I think that is the cry of all of the elect, is that we could know God, we could know his name, we want to know him. God's the one that puts the desire in our heart to know God, even though we're so faltering and failing every day. We're resting in what Christ has done. Brother Richard, go ahead, brother.
That's just what I was thinking on, Larry. In you know, when I was just thinking, when I call on the name of the Lord, you know, one of the scriptures, those that call upon the name of the Lord. And, you know, oftentimes in my heart or in my head and sometimes verbally, you know, if I'm like the psalmist, what we read in the Psalms, or if we're distressed, you know, I may say, "Oh, Father," you know, and it's a, but it's a, or sometimes in my mind, what comes forth is Lord, Lord. And, and those, and it's beyond those words, but it's this, again, is Jerry, you know, the scripture he quoted about this is eternal life, knowing him. And, but, you know, I think of Romans 8 and those, Paul says, and, you know, the groanings that can't be uttered. And it's so much, you know, the titles or the names given are expressions of his character and who he is. But more than that, because it's something unseen and it's the faith of Christ that gives us to see him. It's an expressions of somebody we know, and how foolish we would be, or we would be no different than these, idolaters or pagans who, you know, are crying out to some false idol or some demon or some false god or whatever. But, this God, who we've been given to know and been given to believe in, he is holy. And the scripture says, you know, that he hears our prayers. And what a comfort that we have, this, our Father, you know, and that's what Jesus said, you know, in that name. Well, the scripture says we've been begotten not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. So just as much as our earthly father is as real as our flesh and bone that stands and sits and breathes and walks and eats daily, this eternal parentage of God Almighty, he is our Father. He is our Father. And we have the right and privilege, and as Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father." I mean, how more blessed could we be than to call the God who he is, the God who says, "I am that I am," our Father.
Oh, man. You know, that's good. You know, I mean, the aspect of Father, and I've talked about this before, this thing about Abba Father, you know, Abba. In other words, I think we desire to have someone who is an authority, not only an authority over us, but someone that we can take comfort in, that can rescue us in times of trouble. I mean, you know, I if we're in trouble, we need someone that has the answers to, and that can lift us out of this wilderness that we're walking in. And David talks about this too, often, you know. He says, in the 8th Psalm, he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens." You know, and he says, "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." But, you know, I was thinking the thing that I was wanting to point out in that is, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." You know, all of the elect are unified in the Lord. He is our Lord. We're all in unity, right, in one accord in his name. And, you know, go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, one of the things about his name, and it's very important because the angels told Mary his name should be called Jesus. for he shall save his people from their sins. In other words, the name Jesus means Savior of his people. So really, the only people that truly know his name are ones that know he saved his people from their sins. Mm. He didn't just die and like shooting buckshot up in the sky. His blood was shed for his sheep, for his elect. And that's important thing. I grew up thinking that he died for everyone. It was up to you to believe, to secure that. And that's a lie out of hell. I mean, the other thing about his name, there's two things. There's lots of things about it. But it seems like his name has to do with his people. One of them is holy, holy, holy. When he manifests his holiness to us, it's like you said earlier, Larry, it manifests our unholiness. Mm-hmm. When he manifests this holy name to us, it manifests our name is unclean, unclean, like the lepers cried, unclean. But anyway, there's just so much to it. There's so many names, and a lot of them apply to what he done on behalf of his people.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Larry.
Well, you know, I was thinking there's also in the 34th Psalm, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And that's what we're doing tonight.
Yeah.
Well, that's the purpose of this call is to exalt the name of the Lord together, you know. Jerry and I were talking earlier where two or three are gathered in his name, there I will be in the midst of them.
That's right.
You know? And that's a tremendous promise. I mean, there's three of us right now. We're exalting his name, and so he has told us that he's going to be with us, you know. Go ahead, Brother Richard.
One verse came to my mind. I just looked it up. It's kind of interesting to me. And see what y'all think about it. And it's, let's see. Well, it's just three verses, Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and the word is Christ, is it not? And
yeah.
For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So does that mean that the expression of who Christ is, Jesus told him, he said, if Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so this word, this psalmist says, that the word has been magnified above all of his name. So what's y'all's thoughts on that?
Go ahead, Brother Jerry.
Well, I'm not fully sure, Brother. I tell you, his word, of course, Christ is the word that was made flesh and dwell among us. I was talking to Larry today. There's not going to be any Bible in heaven. There's going to be Christ, but there's not going to be any written word in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't fully understand it, Larry, and Richard, either one. I've read that in the past, and we all know that God, he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and you can't get any higher than that. And however that's worded, That's for sure. You know, when we started meeting in our home, I said this, and I still believe this. I said, you know, the truth is like a compass. A compass always points north. And I said, the gospel always points to Christ. I said, if it starts pointing to baptism, it's off. If it starts pointing to the Lord's Supper, it's off. The wise and prudent get caught up in these things, and they nitpick over it. I've got people I love. I love to fellowship with. I don't know where they were baptized, when they were baptized. I don't even care whether they were baptized. Nobody in heaven, the Lord's going to say, hey, you better go out the back door. You weren't baptized. I tell you, he says he performeth all that's required. And I say, let the wise and prudent get carried away with this stuff. And I don't know exactly what that means, Larry, but I know this. If it has anything to do with us, he has performed it. And we can never, you know, people might tell us when I say that, Christ, I've been baptized 3 times, and yet the one I have faith in is Christ's baptism. Now, there's people who tell us, you trust Christ too much, Jerry. Well, that's got a weird sound to me, guys. I say let those people that think you can trust him too much enjoy their space in hell. That's all I got to say.
Well, you know, there's you made a comment a while ago, Jerry, which I is absolutely right in that whenever we talk about the Lord and his relationship to us, there is also the aspect of how that because of his relationship with to the Lord, it's a two-way street. In other words,
yes. I
see there's this reciprocation back and forth within this fellowship with this Abba Father we're talking about. And David, as he's crying out to God, and he's, on the one hand, he's praising God, he's worshiping God, and he's extolling all of the power of God and his might and all of that. But he also is pouring out his heart in a way. In other words, in the 18th Psalm, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And then he says on down in the 6th verse, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Hey, brother, what happened?
I don't know. We were just dropped off the call. I got you back on now. Richard left us. Guest 4 is still with us.
Well, I tell you, Richard texted me and he said, I was on, but I couldn't hear anybody.
Yeah, he was still on. I could try to go get him again. And why don't you, while I'm doing that, maybe just continue on where we were talking, and I'll try to go get Richard real quick.
Okay. Well, I will say this. One of the biggest awakenings to me in the process of growing, hopefully, in the grace and knowledge of God was in realizing salvation was knowing God. And the knowing of God has to come from God. I thought about this earlier, and that is that no man, the Bible says, by study can find out God. Think about what this says. No man by study can find out God.
Hello?
Yeah, Richard, hey. I think we got you back with us now.
And okay,
Are you still with us, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'll let you guys continue on while I try to fine-tune the pitch.
Did everybody get cut off? Because you were talking and it just went silent. So I
could hear you, Richard, but you couldn't hear me. So I had to reinstitute the whole thing again. So that's kind of where we're at right now. But you know, I think the call is still being recorded. I think we're fine there. So we'll just continue where we got cut off, if it's okay. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just saying, a scripture came to my mind before we started this whole thing, and that is this: the knowing of God has to come from God, and that's what he means by manifested thy name to those that has given me. And of course, he goes on to say, pray for them, he prays not for the world. This happens to all of the election of grace. But there's another scripture that is quite astounding, and it says, no man by study can find out God. You see, only he can manifest who he is to us. This can't, and no man can know God from his end. Now, all religion thinks that's where it takes place. And then there's a scripture that is coupled with knowing God, and it's in Hebrews, it's that scripture that says, no man shall ask his neighbor or his brother know the Lord, for they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. What's he mean? Look at all the so-called missionaries running up and down all over the world, and are they not saying, do you know the Lord? Well, if they didn't know the Lord, could he get them to know the Lord? Can he help them know the Lord? No man steady can find out God. And I want to tell you something else. You can't witness a man into knowing God. You can't introduce him to God. This is something he does himself when he manifests his name to him. There's a lot more to this than religion can have any idea. But you can't study yourself into knowing God. There's a lot of people that know a lot of scriptures. A lot of them have the 5 points down pat, and they've got their religion, and they know how to baptize, and they're concerned about everybody's proper baptism, and yet they know not God. And they have no discernment. Discernment's another thing that goes with knowing God. Go ahead, Richard.
Amen, Jerry. And one of the things I looked up when the call went off over there in Revelation 14:1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And of course, I think, you know, this 144,000 just it is the first fruits and representation of all his children. But that too, we are, if we be of the household of faith, are stamped or are marked, just like our physical fathers marked us, and we have a resemblance. But this, and Scripture says we're being changed from one glory to another into the very image of Christ. And he has marked us, and there it says he's marked us in a sense with his name, his nature, his character, his very person, his essence. We are inseparable from him. And whenever I was sharing a verse with Jerry today, and I looked it up a while ago too, you know, Jerry quoted John 10 earlier. And the fact is that, you know, why when we see our sinfulness daily, hourly, moment by moment, and cry out continually for mercy, and then and receive his mercy and his goodness and his favor toward us through Christ for the forgiveness of sin. But also at times, you know, Jesus asked Peter, he said, will you guys go away also over there in John? And Peter said, you know, I think it was Peter, where will we go? You have the words of life. And Jeremiah said, you know, Jeremiah was being persecuted and all the afflictions and all the trials for the purpose, you know, and God told him in the beginning, you know, I'm going to make you like flint. These men are not going to believe what you say, but, you know, this is what you're going to do anyway. And Jeremiah over in 20 verse 9 says, then I said, I will not make mention of him. He's talking about God. He said, I'm just going to shut up. I'm not going to talk about God.
That's right. That's
nor,
right.
Nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay.
That's right.
Brothers, that every child of grace has felt that before. And the reality is, because that name is written in our foreheads, and because his children have been birthed from above, they cannot deny it. We cannot. We are what we are. And just like Jeremiah said, well, and just like John, I'm going to refuse to do this. I'm not speaking this word anymore, Lord. And then he says that it was like burning fire. And that's
right.
What it is with his children, his name, his word. We cannot deny it. It will never be removed from us. Though oftentimes we may try to hide it or cloak it or wonder what's going on. But just like Jeremiah, his name is truly, he is a consuming fire, and it will be manifest. And Jerry often quotes, I think it's the Malachi verse, you know, those that knew the Lord often speak often one to another. And even tonight, these things we're speaking of, because is it not a fire? Jeremiah said, was in my heart as a burning fire, and it shut up in my bones. And we can't contain it. We can't deny it, because it is God Almighty. Who does his will according to his good pleasure with us.
Well, that's, you know, I was thinking when you were saying that, Brother Richard, says he's given him a name that's greater than any name, the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, you know. And he also says, no, there's no other name in heaven and earth whereby we must be saved. I'm paraphrasing. You know, and think about that. There's no other name. There's no other name. I mean, you know, that really rocks society when you get in the exclusiveness of Christ and that there's no other name. You know, oh, you know, all paths lead to God and all this stuff. And yet, you know, Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
That's right.
And so this mediation and the fact that God has given a name that's greater than any name, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is the Lord.
That's right.
You know,
right.
Yeah.
You know, Larry, in this name, in this seed, it's a manifestation of this name, and in this seed is fear of God. So you've got a chain link all the way through everything. It's the faith of Christ. But it says, those that fear him, it said the eyes of the Lord are upon those that fear him, those that hope in his mercy. See, people don't realize when I say I have a hope in Christ, I'm talking about hoping in his name that is the Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. He did that on the cross. Since I cannot see my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's what Paul said. When Paul said, since we can't see it, if we could see it, it wouldn't be hope. But he said, since we can't see it, it's hope. This is the apostle that says this. And yet natural men want to take away this precious hope that God's given us. And the Lord himself says, all men have not hope. The hope is tied to knowing his name. His name should be called Jesus, for he shall save his people, not attempt to. He shall save his people from their sins. And look at what he says when the Pharisees says, when his Pharisees said, what sacrifice can we offer a sacrifice unto God? And Jesus said, and I love this. He said, my Father delighteth not in sacrifice. Oh, the world wants us to sacrifice. They want us to get in under the thumb of these religious leaders, get in lockstep, and do all the things they want us to do. And yet, he says, my Father delighteth not in sacrifice, but in mercy. Mercy. So my hope is in Christ, his name, Savior of his people. And he delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in no wicked man. And I hope I'm one of them that is far as the day is long and is hoping in Christ's righteousness.
Amen.
That's, that's really kind of reminds me of that, those passages in 1 John. Where he goes into that about, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God, you know.
That's right.
And he says, this is the love of God. And, you know, I think that, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given us, to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
That's right.
And
that's right.
So that's what you were saying, Jerry, that this linkage all the way down, and it's including in the seed of our election.
That's right.
You know, that's the thing that's been so helpful to me, to see that we're not talking here tonight about anything man can do to bring himself to God. I was sharing with Brother Jerry, you know, right before Abraham Lincoln died, many people close to him, you know, said afterwards that Lincoln had pretty much a knowledge that there were those that wanted to kill him. And one of his friends came to him and said, you know, well, you know, are you on the side of the Lord? And Abraham Lincoln chuckled and says, that's the wrong question. The question is God on my side, not whether I'm on his side? You know?
Right.
And that's what we're talking about tonight. I mean, is God on our side? Has God, you know, has he revealed his name to us? Has he revealed himself to us? And, you know, if we have a desire to know God and Jesus Christ, that's a token, at least, that we you know, it's like Richard said, I mean, we're talking about these things, and it seems to be really important to the three of us, and I think it's probably important to the other two guests that have rejoined us again. And why would these two guests, you know, come back on again if they didn't want to hear on these things? So, you know, I think that the desire that is placed in our hearts is somewhat evidence that we have, you know, that we have an interest in the name of the Lord. You know, we have an interest in God. We have interest in, you know, there's a lot going on in the world, and there's a lot of activities, you know, and every time, Brother Richard, I just want you to know that you were somewhat of an inspiration, not exalted. Well, I'm back with you guys, and I don't know, Richard, if you can hear me. I think I probably lost you in all that process. I can see your showing is still on the call. I'm going to try to unmute this. Can you hear me, Richard? Richard, can you hear me now? No. Richard, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. There's a lot of glitches tonight. I apologize to everyone, but it's one of those things that I don't obviously have any control over. Jerry called me back on my landline. He wants me to try to call him back one more. One of the questions that Jerry wanted to pose to everybody tonight on the call is what would be evidences of those who do not know the name of the Lord? And, you know, he pointed out a couple of them, one of them being that they would be adamant about the fact that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And that is so true. We see that. And then the other thing he pointed out was that they would also, they would say that the cross of Christ, you know, made it possible for men to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not, in other words, not the completed atonement of Christ. Jerry, why don't you talk about that a little bit? And while you're doing that, I'm going to go try to get Jerry back. But if you could address those two things, that would be helpful. Thank you. Richard?
Oh, you said, yeah, I'm sorry, Larry, you said Jerry.
I might say anything tonight. Richard, go ahead.
Well, is Jerry back?
No, I'm going to go get him.
Okay.
But there's two other people listening, and I'm sure they'd be interested in your comment on that.
Okay. Well, I do think that is, you know, those two things, that a couple of evidences of those who do not know the true name of the Lord is manifest and given in Scripture. But I don't. I'll wait till Larry and Jerry get back.
Yeah, let me see if I can get Jerry. Hold on one second here. This has been a little bit unusual because TalkShoe's usually pretty good, but every once in a while we'll get some glitches on here, and it's, you know, and of course, you know, hold on, 501-281-8003. Still hear me, Richard? Richard?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you, Larry.
Gary, I think we have you back. And, you know, maybe we ought to try to bring this to some kind of a conclusion since we've had so many technical difficulties tonight. I'm going to just...
Oh, that's fine.
I'm going to let Jerry and Richard kind of close this out. I apologize again to everybody for the glitches, even though, you know, God is sovereign over all of this. So go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I had asked Larry, this will take a couple minutes, but I asked Larry, I said, you know, the thing that I would like to ask is, you know, the Lord says you'll know them by their fruits. So what would be some of the fruits of not knowing his name? One of them I was sharing with Larry would be not to know that he is the Savior of his people. And the other would be that he doesn't love the brethren. In other words, you know you pass from death to life if you love the brethren. And, of course, the Lord says by the same merits that you judge, you're going to be judged, which people could judge God's people by that. But the natural man is going to be judging by their baptism, by their church membership, by their standing, by whether they, you know, their works. But go ahead, Larry, on that subject, and then one of you guys close it out if you want to. But.
Yeah, well, I think I shared that as I was getting you back on with Brother Richard, and he concurred that, you know, those are two elements that are very obvious distinction between those who are, you know, in embracing and endorsing the biblical doctrines of predestination, election, and you know, the absolute necessity of the atonement in Christ, and the fact that not that he just made it possible that men would be saved, but it absolutely secured.
That's
secured,
right.
Secured their destiny. And anyway, I'm going to just go ahead and let Brother Richard kind of close this call out tonight. And I think that a lot of good things have been said tonight, especially, you know, regarding the name of the Lord and his power and his majesty and his also his long-suffering, you know, to us. Jerry and I were talking about that earlier about, you know, it's the long-suffering of God that leads his elect to repentance. And I think we see his love demonstrated, and we look at our own wretchedness, and we say, you know, he could see no merit in us. He loved us only because he loved us, not anything, mm-hmm. not any merit in the creature. But go ahead, mm-hmm. Brother Richard.
Just add one more thought to the fruits of those who don't know the Lord, and evidences who don't know his name. Those, and I mentioned this to Jerry, we were maybe talking about something else, but in Matthew 7, those that come professing Lord, Lord, with his name, with his title on their lips, and professing and holding out with their filthy hands works of iniquity that Christ called them, you workers of iniquity, these, one of the fruits of these that don't know the Lord is the deception. And if you would have asked, you know, any of those who are pictured in that Matthew 7 passage prior to their coming before the Lord, I know the Lord. I know his name. I surely do.
Yeah.
Look at these things I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so one of the evidences is we have met and discussed with people when it comes down to it, when in terms of, well, how do you know the Lord? Well, I is going to be in that equation somewhere.
Yeah.
And not totally dependent upon Christ's finished work.
Amen.
And his imputed righteousness. So they have an inherent trust, a mixture. Sometimes it's not even a mixture, but it mostly is. They call themselves Christians. But they have something of merit that they have brought to the Lord, either in their salvation or in their continued so-called understanding of God. It's so those in Matthew 7 that say, Lord, Lord, have we not done? And the elect say one of the marks for them is, again, wondering if they are in Matthew 25, Lord, when did I see you in prison? When did I do these things? I just thank y'all for it's been a blessing to me tonight, and an encouragement to me, as we, like that passage in Jeremiah, these things do burn in our heart, and as we talk about him and our understanding and his, our experience with him, it just is an encouragement to me and makes me thankful and fills my heart with praise to think that I, Lord willing, am one of his and have been given to call on his name and to know his name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's very well put. I think that's a really good stopping point, because how could we add to that? I mean, it's just, he's done it all. He's done it all, and our only hope is in what he did. He said it's finished. The veil was rent from top to bottom, and he entered once into the holy place for us and sat down. Anyway, I love you guys, and we're going to end this call now, and we hope that everyone has a blessed week. And Jerry, do you have any final words?
No, just that thank you, Larry, for letting me be a part of it.
Oh, I enjoyed it. And I apologize for all of this technical garbage we've gone through. But you know what? We're going through the fire, but, you know, the good Lord says if we're one of his, we'll come forth as gold. Good
That's
night.
Right.
Good
That's
night,
right.
guys.
Good night, brother.
Good night. Bye-bye.